Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Hey, Steve Butella here from Land Academy. Welcome to our Cash Flow from Land show. In this episode, Jill and I talk about the perfect Land Academy member. It's a topic I came up with, not Jill, of course. And I'll tell you, it's not.
Of course.
It's not how your grade school teacher admired the teacher's pet with an apple on the desk at all, in my opinion. Jill, I'm so glad we didn't discuss this before we actually turned the mics on, because as usual, I bet we kind of differ on this.
I bet we do.
What's your gut?
Well, I agree. I bet we do. So you want to go in order,
give
a topic? Like, what do you think is good? What makes the perfect Land Academy member for me?
We've got hundreds and hundreds of members now. And,
yes.
You know, I certainly don't want to name any names, but I have a really good idea of who I think, you know. When I was a coach, I'm going to talk a lot about sports. There's a lot of sports analogies in this episode. So if you don't like sports analogies, like knock it out of the park or any of that, you can turn it off right now. And that means the one of the two people that are watching this or listening to this need to turn their stuff off.
Mom? Just kidding. That's funny. I'm positive my mom does not listen to this. Absolutely positive. I don't even know if my mom knows we have a podcast, but that's a whole nother show.
She knows. So, you know, I just think, you know, go ahead.
Okay. You want to hear my list?
Yeah.
I have three things. You want me to do one at a time?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Sure, whatever. Do whatever you want.
So my first ideal Land Academy member asks good questions after utilizing all the resources available to them, including Google. It's kind of like, I don't know, even like our children come to us sometimes and they ask questions like, I'm like, why are you asking me?
Like, what time is it?
Well, yeah. And they're like, I mean, just some really, I don't know, interesting questions. Sometimes it's questions there's no way I would possibly know that. What time was the sunrise this morning? Really? Mm-hmm. Are you asking me that?
Why did you have children?
Right. When's the next full moon? I don't know. Why are you asking me that? And by the way, like Steven says, get out that fancy machine in your pocket and look that up.
Remember when we were kids, we had to go walk all the way across the house to a dictionary?
Or an encyclopedia.
Now it's in their pocket.
Exactly.
And it's like the size, it's what, 1,000 times the size of the Library of Congress.
Right. And if you didn't have that book, like maybe you wanted to know like a world's record statistic. Not all of us had those books on our shelves. You'd have to go to the library to figure this out and look
it up.
That's
why I didn't learn anything.
There you
go. It was too hard.
It's silly. But no, I really appreciate, let's just say people in general, when you, I don't know, maybe look it up before you ask the question. So that's one thing for me. Another one is I love people who just dig in there and they solve their own problems. And this is kind of like you and I, Stephen, and they share it for everybody else. Like, hey, everybody, oh my gosh, I just discovered X. I was going through the process and this happened to me. I want to tell everyone so it doesn't happen to you. Whatever it is. Postage just went up and I accidentally put the wrong stamp on it for whatever. You know, things like that can happen. And it's so nice to figure it out, solve it, share it with everybody else so nobody goes there. You know, and I just love that. So, do you want to hear my third one? Then I'll hear your list. Or you want?
Sure, go ahead.
So then, my third thing about my ideal perfect Land Academy member is our members who are realistic and they're really happy with their growing success. They're not afraid. They're diving in there. They're making little small celebrations/interruptions for Steven. But no, they're watching their bank accounts grow. They're watching their portfolio grow. They're watching it all grow. They are realistic. They're not hung up on.
They're not expecting to quit their job in 2 hours.
Right. That's it. And they're seeing it. And they're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And they're getting a taste of the success. And it's great. So those are my three things.
My favorite, my perfect Land Academy member is a person who purchases one of our programs and never opens it, throws it in the back of their closet, and never contacts us again.
Oh my gosh. Just what the heck? Oh, that's a good one. I wouldn't. That's
if,
great.
If any of that were true, we wouldn't have.
Oh my goodness.
We would not have put up successplant.com where we micromanage everybody's success and we encourage them and help them every step of the way. I'm just
hilarious.
Just joking around. We have some people like that. Oh, we should never hear from them.
They're
again.
Always like that. That was my dad. My dad was a king of buying things like this. And I don't, some of them, I'm like, you know, when he passed, I'm like, the plastic's still on this one. Like, he never even opened some things. Like, you know, yeah, I know there's people out there that do that. So
when the kids were really little, I was a soccer coach, and which is a great time to be a dad coach because you don't have any real responsibility. It's more discipline than anything. And the kids still, you know, they still want to listen to you and the whole thing. So, you know, coachability was so important back then. So there's three or four different types of kids that would come in, little kids. And, you know, the my favorite kind was always one that has some basic skill, but had needed some instruction and would take it and would listen to it. They're coachable. And those ended up being, and we would always give out awards at the end. And my favorite award was most improved. And it still is. You know, the kid that you just think he wasn't going to make it in the beginning. And then he starts listening to you. And you go through and you give him, at the end of the season, he's, you know, top two or three, you know, one through three players. So coachability and improvement and an open mind, those are my favorite Land Academy students, where they just come in and you don't hear from them, but then they come out with some really good questions and you help them and they're doing it. And every step of the way, you're kind of, you feel like this inner pride. So my perfect Land Academy member is coachable.
Love it.
There are, now we can talk about the fun stuff.
Okay, because I have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
All right.
Now we can talk about the people that,
I was going to take a little more personal first. What kind of student are you, Steven?
Like, you know, if I.
Okay.
Put, you mean now I, or when yeah, I was a no. kid?
Okay. Okay, how about as a kid? What kind of, because I have a funny story. Too, but I was
not a good student as a kid. I was a good college really? Student.
Okay, tell me about as a kid school, and tell me as now. This is perfect. What kind of student were you as a kid in grade school?
I was a class clown.
Oh my gosh. Did you pay attention at all?
No.
Did you ask any good questions or you couldn't care? You just wanted to get out to recess.
I wanted to horse around.
Okay. Okay, so how has that changed?
It's not. That's why my only option is to own a company like this.
Oh, that's what I was
saying. I could never work here.
I thought you were going to say something that you had some great changes. I mean, through college, I developed these work ethics and the study habits. And
no.
Well, because you have a pretty good work ethic, I got to say. You know what's funny about this? This is the total truth, that even though you say you just want to goof off, you are in here every morning before everyone.
I know.
And that's not how I operate.
You know why? Because I enjoy this. I love buying and selling land.
That's good.
I love the whole thing.
I do too. I do too, just not at 6 a.m.
No, you know, this show is not about me. I just have to bring a good attitude. There's one of my favorite books ever but it was written by Bill Gates Sr. You know, Bill Gates' father, who was also named William Gates. And he passed away now, but he wrote the book, and I would highly recommend it. It's a one sitting read. It's not long or painful. He sits down and he says, I wrote this book because I'm so tired of answering this question at the grocery store. What was it about him what did you do to the kid to make him, you know, make him Bill Gates? And he said, so the name of the book is called Showing Up for Life. And he said, you know what? I showed up for my kid's childhood. And then so he goes on from there about all the stuff that families go through and people go through in general in life. And, you know, he's an attorney and very methodical approach. And so he tells a lot of funny stories about Bill Gates as a kid. But I've used that sentence a million times probably since I've read that book. You have to show up for this. And when I mean show up, I don't mean stand there and wait till it's over like a lot of kids do. Mm-hmm. They just stand there kind of scoffing and kicking the dirt and saying, you know, it's only 15 more minutes left. Only 10. That's not showing up. I mean, show up and take an interest in this. Make a commitment. And it's possible to make some serious money pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Do it to the best of your ability.
There yeah, you go. So you got to show up.
You know what? You said it's not about me. And you know what, though, Stephen? I think it is about you. There's a lot of people who want to emulate you in a really good way. So I think it is kind of about you. You set a good example. You have good values. You clearly figured out a brilliant business model.
Yeah.
So and now you're sharing it. So even though you said it, it kind of is about you. I'm going to get a little teary-eyed.
Oh, right my now. Gosh.
No, but I mean that sincerely. I really didn't think it's just kind of coming out. When you said it's not about me, I want to go, hold on a moment. Yes, it is.
I'm laughing on the outside and crying on the inside.
Where did you read that one?
I think it's Yogi Berra.
Oh, my gosh.
Some of the best quotes ever.
That's a good one. That's funny.
No, I was not a good student really early on. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons was that we lived in a very middle class, lower middle class.
Not until in Grosse Pointe?
No, listen, man. Until about sixth or seventh grade, we lived in a lower middle class Detroit suburb. And then we moved then to a very affluent suburb of Grosse Pointe because some financial stuff in our family changed. But, you know, a lot of it was just this, with the teachers and the surroundings and the distractions for all that stuff.
You know, you and I have some similar backgrounds.
Yeah, I know.
That's really funny you said it because I forgot because where I grew up in Garden Grove is not where we ended up in Laguna Hills.
Right.
They're a little bit different because yeah. Then some things in our family changed financially too.
Right. So
that's interesting.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think anybody, if you take it seriously, regardless of your past, take a program like this, not necessarily this one, but whatever you want to do seriously, you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people, it takes a long time to learn to pass, to get an A on a test. But I don't believe this crap about, I'm not academically good at this.
Well, I don't believe that either.
It's just, you're not academically, you can't get an A on a test by studying for 35 seconds like the guy next to you. That's what the, I'm not smart then. That's silly.
That's true. You got to do it differently. Get over it.
Yeah, get over it.
Yeah, that's okay. Do you want to know what kind of kid I was?
Now it's about you, Jill. That's why people listen to this show.
I have a funny story that I was going to share. As we're talking about, you know, what kind of students we were then and now. And so one of my stories is Mr. Tinsman got sick and tired of me talking in class. Here's a surprise. I would not shut up. He put me in the front of the room. Didn't matter. He put me in the back of the room. Didn't matter. So then he put me in the corner and he put a bookshelf in front of me thinking this would work because I couldn't have eye contact with the other classmates.
This is exactly like today.
Putting me in the corner with a bookshelf in front of me?
No, just there's a lot of talking.
Oh, stop. Thanks a lot. So anyway... Last time I checked, it was okay.
It's good. That's why we have a show.
This is true.
No one wants to listen to me.
Could you imagine?
No.
No. All right. So then I'm clearly bored, trying to come up with something to do. I got through my work as a child, schoolwork came really easily to me and didn't have to study at all. So I had a lot of downtime. So I looked around the bookshelf and I decided that, I could make some money off this here. That was an entrepreneur thing, I think, in me too. So I used my free time to make signs and put it all over the bookshelf that I was renting out all the books. It was all the dictionaries and whatever it was on the bookshelf. So I was very proud of that. It was 25 cents to rent them out. Well, then till Mr. Tinsman called me over to his desk and explained to me, since he owned the classroom, it was his classroom, his bookshelf, his books. He really sat down and we did a whole math thing and broke down the numbers of how much his cut would be and how much my cut would be by the time it was all over because I was only leasing the books from him. Anyway, and so it did not work out, so I took the signs down.
That's how the mafia works.
Isn't that great, though? What a great thing to teach.
It's the mafia business model right there.
And I still remember Mr. Tinsman.
He was paying you for protection.
To this day, telling me this is not going to work. You know, here's what you're really going to make off that 25 cents. And then it really wasn't worth my while, so I took all the signs down. So,
hey, I love that entrepreneurial spirit, though, Jill. I've never heard that story.
Thank you very much. So, and then... You know, it wasn't until later years that I had to develop study habits. So the kind of student I am now is I focus, man.
Yeah,
and
me
I
too.
Well, and now maybe it's because I'm not there because I have to be. If I'm taking a class or I'm working on something, I'm really there because I want to be. And that's another thing that I think about our members. What I love about them, our members are, they're there because they want to be there. They made a decision and they're in it. And it's really in it. There's money involved.
Yeah.
So everybody is really paying attention and wanting to be a sponge and get everything they can out of it. And that's the way I am also.
Right.
I'm not killing time here, man.
Yeah,
I really want to learn and I want to
profit. Well, you're showing
profit.
Up.
I'm showing
you're
up.
You're showing up for this.
Exactly.
You're taking it seriously.
I am. And so... And that's our people.
We live in this age, for our younger listeners, we live in an age where it used to be that someone would walk in a room that was very studied or knowledgeable about whatever topic that they, let's say it's a medical doctor or accounting, I don't care, or a welder. And so when they started talking about welding, everybody stopped what they're doing and really listened. You know, there are a lot of lectures, so to speak, lectures about fun topics and lectures about school. Lecture's not necessarily a bad word. Today, if you want to learn about welding and you have a free weekend, you can pretty much know about welding at the end, you know, all the academic points to it with Google.
Mm-hmm.
So now my point in saying all this is that there are no more excuses. It's just a thing of it's laziness.
It is.
You know, you got to decide what you want to do. Land investment might not be that. It might be, I don't know what, but you know, if you're listening to this, you're probably interested. You're bored off of your mind and you're probably
really bored.
No, I just think that if you're interested in making a bunch of money and in land and not in selling dresses or whatever other opportunities there are out there, there's no excuse. Every answer is out right in front of you on your phone.
I wonder how many people listen to us that are not totally interested in land, but we're maybe accidentally or you know, motivating them for whatever it is in their life.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You know, I never thought
I
about
that too.
We talk about everything related to our business, but really what we talk about, a lot of it can be used in other ways. Like you're showing up for life speech, you know, that's beautiful. It's great. That book that you read and it's all true.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
That'd be a good, interesting statistic to capture, which will never happen.
Hey, email Steve at, just kidding.
I know that all Apple products, I'm not a big Apple fan, there are a lot of people are, they don't have a back button. So I just assume that people that listen to this show don't know where the back button is to turn it off.
Oh, our phones have back buttons.
Yeah, our phones have back buttons.
Oh, that's true. Netflix has a back button. Took me a while to figure that out.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. So they just turn on the show and they're stuck.
They turn the volume down until it's over.
Because they have an iPhone.
And it shows up as a listen for us.
Oh. Hey, thanks for the numbers. Hey, thanks for upping our ratings. Everybody has an iPhone and doesn't know how to turn it off.
Hey, which one of your kids is your favorite?
Is my favorite kid?
Yeah.
Oh, that's easy.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to actually answer.
How could you imagine?
Oh, my God. That's a podcast show that people might listen to.
Wouldn't it be funny?
How to choose your favorite kid.
Steven and Jill talk about their favorite child. And while the other ones are just floundering. Just kidding. Oh, my goodness.
I know which kid's most improved.
To think about. Oh, I do too.
We can't name any names here, Jill.
No,
I don't want to go back and edit all this. So.
No, I don't want to edit this. I think we're thinking the same one and we're not going to say anything.
I know we are.
Hey, you know what? That would be something. Hey, maybe next year for your birthday and their birthdays, instead of giving them gifts, we're going to, it's kind of like soccer. We're going to give the, hey, I like this. I think this would be fun to edit this. Instead of giving our children gifts next year, let's give them all a trophy. And it's a trophy based on most improved, you know, whatever it is.
This.
He's our MVP.
Yeah, like a team.
Yeah, like then, team things.
And then we should have an envelope attached, like taped to it, with the amount of money that the place of value that you and I think on that improvement.
Oh, I like that.
Or that whatever.
You're the MVP. You're the most improved.
Yeah.
And the other one has the best attitude. I don't know.
Every psychologist on the planet is cringing right now. we're defining conditional love. If you perform, we will love you.
And
if
we
you
will
don't
pay
perform,
you.
You're gonna sleep in the closet. That's how people like become serial killers.
Wow.
I'm not joking.
How did we get this so sidetracked off our thing? Oh,
that's why identical twins, one ends up, you know, on being a medical doctor and one ends up being a criminal. You know what else I think really, really matters? And I don't know if I hit it.
What's that?
Is commitment.
To be more.
Well, so let's say you're a young kid and you're sitting down and you're looking at the rest of your life. Or let's say you're 50 years old and you're looking at the rest of your life saying, all right, you know what? I've got all this stuff behind me or in front of me. What do I want? I'm staring at a blank piece of paper. I've said this a million times. You're probably tired of hearing it. You know, I start everything by staring at a blank piece of paper and asking myself some questions like, what do I want? You know, do I want a podcast? Do I want to? Because if you say yes and you make a commitment, man, that's time consuming and you're going to ultimately something else is you have to give up something else. You know, there's only so many hours in the day and so much energy. So make it count.
That's true.
And make a commitment and then get it, then kill it.
That's true. And once you do that and you're all in, you'll get over any obstacle that comes your way.
Right.
Because you've committed to it.
Right.
So
I've had people say to me in the past, you know, you're going to put in all this energy to buy a $4,000 piece of property and make $12,000 on it. Why the heck don't you put all this energy in to go buy a $900,000 piece of property or a $9 million piece of property and sell it for $18 million, like commercial real estate, the top end of commercial real estate? It's the same amount of time and effort and, you know, and all that.
I disagree.
Well, I think, you know, the answer is, the answer is to do both because we do some relatively wow. high-end deals too. But I really think that this niche of real estate at the end is more profitable. I mean, would you rather do,
let me
ask you a question. Would you rather do one or two real estate deals a year and make the exact same amount of money that you make or do what we do?
I think it's much harder the other way too.
So do I, Jill.
Finding those deals like that are really, that's what I love about this. This is a no-brainer. I can quietly, easily make as much money as I want each month and not lose sleep over it versus I'm 6 months in, I'm doing research, I still haven't found that one gem, and now I'm stressing out, you know, my bills aren't getting paid, whatever it is, and then it happens, you know. I mean, I don't really want to go through that.
I brokered, you know. Go on Indeed and, I mean, what is it, LinkedIn,
mm-hmm.
where our profiles are. And I brokered, and you can check this all out. I started my career as a long-term care, you know, institutional broker or acquisition person and broker. I'd buy nursing homes and arrange to buy them and sell them and the whole thing. And those deals took years.
Mm-hmm.
I also ultimately landed in this niche because of what we're talking about right now, where, you know, if you and I take a month off for whatever reason – or 2 weeks, it's all going to be back there. Again, mm-hmm. the money's coming in if a broker or an owner of these big, you know, doing these huge deals takes a month off, unless you're seasoned and it's over, it's tough to get back in.
It's true.
Plus, there's the barriers of entry to buying huge properties. I mean, it's almost non-existent. You have to know somebody.
Oh my goodness. And to have that backing behind you and the people that...
Yeah.
That's what scares me, the stories, the people that, you know, I cleaned out our savings and our 401k, and then I took my in-laws' retirement fund and everything.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's dad. There's no
right.
way I would touch that stuff.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So to wrap this up, take it seriously, make a commitment, and all the answers are pretty much there if you take it seriously. Do you have any parting words?
No. No, go ahead.
Join us in the next episode where Jill and I discuss your all-important success in land investment and in life.
That felt like a little prelude to our new show.
The next episode? Oh, our new show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one that we keep not doing.
That's right. If you liked this show, that last show, you will like what we got coming up. It was a little bit like that, talking about big picture stuff. And I like that.
I know.
That's an important, well, it's the whole topic. I'm really glad that you brought up this topic, and I'm really glad we just did a whole show on that. it's very important to think about your mindset, not just the technical things. Mm-hmm. Because you can have all the technical pieces in place, but you're not showing up, your heart's not in it, you know, there's all, you're going to give up really easily, you will fail.
Yeah, if you don't go through the first steps, the big picture steps of making a conscious choice and showing up because you want to show up and all the stuff we discussed, I mean, the details and all that, they come afterward. Mm-hmm. But yeah, up front, you got to go through the right steps. Mm-hmm. What are they?
The mental steps or the technical steps?
I know this is one of your favorite topics. What are, I mean, in like, I don't know, a couple minutes or less.
Mental.
What are the upfront steps that anyone needs to take mentally to really kind of change, make some changes to get them where they want to be in anything? Like, you know, make more money, have a better relationship, or whatever the big picture stuff that everybody wants to make changes.
Did you just give me 30 seconds to answer the meaning of life?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You can make it
that
big.
That's exactly what it sounds like. So.
No, it's not that big. What are the steps that you need to take, that anyone generally needs to take to make some big changes in their life? Big stuff. Like,
dude, you know? I got to think about this. This is something I can't answer that fast.
Okay.
That's a whole nother show.
Well, I think the first step is you really want to make a change.
Right.
That you're actively out there, like listening to podcasts or you want to want it. I mean, you have to want it,
mm-hmm. you know? And you have to baby step. You have to take little steps to do that.
Right.
I totally believe the fact that it takes many, many, many repeat times of small changes to make that one ingrained. And then you got to do the next one and the next yeah. one and the next one until you get to be where you want to be. And there's all kinds of science behind this backing it up that you could change. You can change brain waves. You can change the way you analyze things, right. you know, but it takes a long time of catching yourself when you start to go...
Changing your habits.
Right. And redirecting your thinking. But it's proven that you can do that. And I believe it.
Now let's go buy some property.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
Landacademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.